Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Movies. Anymore. Sam Adams, from Boston, with love. Here's a legal pod. Watch how fast I can read. The Boston Beer Company, Boston, Mass. Drink responsibly. Now, is that 30 seconds? Are we even close?
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. Dealing with battery problems? We've got you. Let's start with a free battery test. If you just need a free charge, we can help with that too. And if it's time for a new battery, we've got you covered. We're the only place you can find Duralast, the batteries more consumers choose. That's what makes us America's number one battery destination, where help is always in stock. Claims based on a proprietary consumer study and data from the NPD Group 2019.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Enjoy Mexican cuisine with today's Perks Deal. Half off $50 to margaritas. From downtown to Atoka, there's a margaritas near you. Get yours at getmyperks.com.
Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. When you turn to Rocket Mortgage, we can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so now is a great time to call 8338-ROCKET. And if you need some extra money, a cash-out refinance could give you that financial boost you're looking for. Call today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states and MLS number 3030.
It all starts with just one thing. To celebrate World Ozone Month, try using your vehicle less in September. By walking or biking to close destinations, you will help reduce vehicle pollution and you can enjoy more of the outdoors. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
Honey, do you hear that?
Yeah. What is that?
Oh, my God! The roof is leaking! Okay, I got this. Look out, coming through!
What are you doing?
I'm catching the water to keep us from drowning. What are you doing?
I'm calling Bennett Roofing. They've got 24-hour emergency service and can get our roof fixed in no time. Put those pots away. I just washed those.
Licensed and insured, Bennett Roofing offers 24-hour emergency service on all roof repair. Visit them at BennettRoofingMemphis.com or call them at 901-359-9708.
With all the uncertainty in the world today, our mental wellness is being tested like never before. I'm Listening is here to remind you that you are not alone. Each day, we highlight conversations with celebrities, athletes, and mental health professionals who share their experiences to help you manage feelings of anxiety, depression, and other mental health issues. Join us Wednesday, September 23rd at 6 p.m. for a two-hour in-depth discussion as we take the mental health temperature of the nation. For more, visit imlistening.org. Remember, talk has the power to save lives.
The Mid-South's number one for sports. WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis. On the radio.com live and rewind anytime. Smart speakers just say play 92.9 ESPN. 92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
All right, I'm here. My name's Gary Parish, speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Bennett Dahl's producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day just as best you can. Enjoy dumb endings to basketball games, because that's what we got last night in the doubleheader. First, Heat Bucks, stupid ending. Then, Thunder Rockets, stupid ending. Drama filled, kept me interested, but stupid endings in both games. We'll walk through both of them here in a second. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. Mike Tannenbaum is a former NFL general manager who is now front office insider for ESPN. He's going to join me in the next segment. Talk NFL with him. Mike Tannenbaum going to be here right around 4:25. When I finish that, I'll take a break, come back, do four notable stories at 4:44, at which point I'll discuss four previously undiscussed stories. Among them, the Brooklyn Nets have a new basketball coach. It's Hall of Famer Steve Nash. I don't know that many of us saw that coming, but it could work out. We'll get into that story around 4:44. You remember the Charlotte Hornets play-by-play guy who typed the N-word into Twitter?
I do remember that.
He no longer has a job.
Well,
that was announced earlier today by the organization owned by Michael Jordan. We'll get into that a little later on this hour. Rest in peace to the Mexican pizza at Taco Bell.
Dude.
What are we doing?
I'm ready to talk about that.
What are we doing? What are we doing?
What are we doing?
What are we doing? Haven't we suffered enough in 2020? We got
to
lose the Mexican pizza too? What are we doing?
Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. We'll get into that just before 5 o'clock. And baseball legend Tom Seaver has died at the age of 75. Three-time Cy Young Award winner, was battling dementia and COVID-19. I'll tell you a little bit more about him during four notable stories, 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins, just like always. Then it's Jeff Calkins and these dogs.
Oh, man. Yeah, I know. It was all fun and games when we were talking about it yesterday.
What in the world? What in the world? You have to get a chainsaw and chop your house up to get your dog? I mean, what is he doing? Forget about Taco Bell first. What is dumber? Taco Bell getting rid of the Mexican pizza, or Calkins having to get somebody with a chainsaw at 8:30 in the morning to get his dog out from underneath the deck? Life's hard enough without all these other things going on.
I know.
Jesus, Lord. Jeff Calkins will be here a little after 5 o'clock. Then we'll eventually do dinner to go and get out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I wanted to start with the NBA. Two games last night, two more tonight. We'll talk about tonight later, but I'll spend the first segment on last night's doubleheader because both games were decided at the buzzer and in the most stupid ways possible. I don't know if this is something you can research, but that has to be the dumbest ending doubleheader in NBA playoffs history.
Oh, for sure.
By the way, let me say this. I'm really enjoying, we got two games every night. I don't like the first one starting at 5:30 because I'm missing an hour of it, right?
Right.
But I really do like these games, for the most part, being over by 10:30 at night.
I love it, yes.
Like you don't have to stay up till after midnight to watch the NBA playoffs. So that's been good. But last night was just ridiculous. Bucks Heat ended with awful foul calls. And then Rockets Thunder ended with the worst inbounds play in the history of the sport. What was dumber, Bennett Doyle? Mark Davis's two foul calls that, I don't know, decided the game, but certainly determined how the game played out in Heat Bucks. Or Shai Gilgeous-Alexander trying to inbound the ball to Steven Adams, who was moving away from the basket and catching it, or at least was trying to catch it, at the three-point line with 1.1 seconds left. What's dumber?
I'm going to go with the latter just because I felt like that there was it just was a little more high stakes in that situation. And, like, not getting the ball to Chris Paul in that situation.
Not getting a shot.
Like, this series is like, I mean, no offense to the rest of the Oklahoma City Thunder, but this series is about Chris Paul and, like, the beef between the Houston Rockets. Like, for him to not touch the ball, that was just tough.
You got to get a shot, whether it's with Chris Paul or somebody
or
else.
Anybody,
you got,
agreed,
you
yes.
got to get a shot. To not get a shot, I mean, you're a professional basketball team with a professional basketball coach. Like, get something, get a shot.
Well, on top of that, you call a timeout the first time. Like you can't get the inbounds in the first time, so you call a timeout, and then that happens right after. Yeah.
And they, by the way, set up pretty similarly in the, you know, when they came out of that timeout. And then, like, here's my thing on that, and we'll get to it later as well, but even, like, clearly, you're on account. Things are jammed up. Chris Paul's not working that hard to try to free himself.
No, that's on him, too.
Yeah, like, he's not fighting to work it to free himself.
Right.
But and again, I understand you're a young player, second-year pro, and, like, you know, it's high stakes that you got a mental clock ticking on you. You've got to get rid of the ball. But throwing it where he threw it is just a waste completely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because even if Steven Adams catches that ball, what is he going to do? He's a center with his back to the basket at the three-point line. Yeah, what is he going to do? Yeah, even if you get it to him there, what is he going to do?
You can't be looking for Steven. Like, even if you see Steven Adams and that's, like, the only guy in your vision, you can't put it in there.
You go, like, okay, what am I – what? Even if I get the ball to him, what is he going to do with it? Right. So, I agree with you, by the way. The way Thunder Rockets ended was dumber than the way Bucks Heat ended, but both were dumb. Let's spend a few minutes on Bucks Heat. So, Miami is up – 3 points, 114-111 with 7 points seconds left. And by the way, Miami controlled the whole game. It was kind of remarkable that the Bucks had a possession with a chance to tie in the final 10 seconds, because in the fourth quarter, for much of it, it didn't look like that was going to unfold that way. So Chris Middleton pulls up a three, misses, but Mark Davis calls a foul on Goran Dragic with 4.3 seconds left. Problem, of course, is... not a foul. Shouldn't have been called.
No.
I mean, it's not the worst whistle in the history of whistles, but it's on the list of playoff whistles, at least on the list of playoff whistles in these playoffs. Like, he should not have blown the whistle there, but he did. Chris Middleton goes to the free throw line, makes one, makes two, makes three. So now we're tied. Miami calls a timeout, advances the ball, gets it to Jimmy Butler. He pulls from the corner. Misses, but Mark Davis blows his whistle again, calls a foul on Giannis. Problem is, wasn't a foul. So Jimmy Butler then gets to go to the free throw line. Two shots, zeros on the clock. It was a little bit like the Darius Washington situation, except, like, you know, he only had to make one to win because the score was tied. So there wasn't as much pressure. He had two opportunities to make one free throw, and one free throw wins it. And the worst-case scenario is you're going to overtime if you miss two. So not nearly as nerve-wracking, but, like, nobody on the court in any sort of meaningful way, zeros on the clock. He rattled in the first one. Looked like he might miss it. Rattled it in. Makes the second. Miami wins 116-114. Takes a 2-0 lead in the series. So Mark Davis has two bad calls in the final 5 seconds. Do you think the second one was a makeup call? Like, he felt like, I blew the whistle on that end, I got to blow the whistle here.
Yeah.
It felt like it was a makeup call.
Yeah, just because there was nothing there.
Except if I'm him, and again, this is all happening really fast, I understand that, but if I'm him, I don't blow the whistle there, because then what is the worst thing you're allowing to happen? Overtime. Let's let the players decide this in overtime. But you blow the whistle there, you have effectively ended the game. Now, it should be pointed out that if you go back to literally the second before he made the first of two bad calls in the final 5 seconds, Miami was up three. Middleton missed the shot. And if we're going to say that shouldn't have been a foul, then what happens? Miami gets the ball. Milwaukee fouls. Somebody makes some free. The game's over. Miami wins the game.
Mm-hmm.
So Miami ended up winning the game. So I don't know. I've heard this a lot last night and throughout the day today. Like, Mark Davis determined the outcome of the game. Not really. Because if you are insisting he made two bad calls, well, then they sort of evened each other out, and the team that was supposed to win the game ended up winning the game. I don't think he determined the outcome of the game. But he did impact the final 5 seconds of that game in a way that was totally unnecessary. He got way too involved in the end of the game. So that was dumb, but the right team won. This isn't one where the referee makes a bad call and it took a win and flipped it into a loss for a team, or took a loss and flipped it into a win for a team. The team, if you take Mark Davis and just eliminate him from the entire deal, the team that was supposed to win the game ended up winning the game. So I wasn't outraged by it, but, like, you don't, if you're an official, you don't want to be that involved in the final 5 seconds of a playoff game. So that was over. And then we get to join Thunder Rockets Game 7 in progress. And for much of the game, it turned into the Lugans Dort game out of nowhere.
How about that?
How about this? So he got 30 points last night. Mm-hmm. He was 10 of 21 from the field, 6 of 12 from three-point range. His 30 points are the most by a player 21 years old or younger in Game 7 NBA history. The list now looks like this. 30 points in a Game 7 for Lu Dort. That is the most for a player 21 or younger in a Game 7. Number 2 on the list, 27 points for LeBron James. Number three on the list, 25 points for Kobe Bryant. And number four on the list, 24 points for Jason Tatum.
Okay.
So he's in real good company there with two all-time greats and another guy who looks like a future Hall of Famer. And what's wildest about all of it, like, first off, Lu Dort, undrafted rookie who, like, played 12 or 13 games in the G League this season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I don't know that he was at the Lander Center, but he might have been. For him to now scoring 30 points in a Game 7 in the playoffs, that's remarkable independent of anything else. What's especially crazy about it is that if you go back to Game 5, the Saturday night game that Houston won by 34 points, their entire approach was, we're not going to guard Lu Dort. We're going to let him shoot. They just ignored him, and they let him shoot. And he goes 3 of 16 from the field, 0 of 9 from three-point range. And a lot of smart NBA writers basically decided the series was done then. And the reason was because, as one writer put it, Sam Quinn at CBS Sports, he said, well, Houston's now cracked the code on this. He said this sometimes happens in a playoff series. One team recognizes something it can do that the other team cannot counter. Because if you're Billy Donovan, you need Lu Dort on the court to guard James Harden. He's big. He's strong. Mm-hmm. He's intense. He wants to do it. He likes the job. So you need him to guard James Harden. But if they're not going to guard him on the other end of the court, you can't play him because you're playing 4-on-5 on the offensive end. And so Sam Quinn was like, that's the series now. Mike D'Antoni has figured this out. And Lu Dort can't make those shots. Series is over. A little bit like, you remember when Golden State decided they're not going to guard Tony Allen, and it just flipped the whole thing. Like, they just said, we're not guarding him, and then suddenly, it becomes hard to keep him on the court. This was that version. This was a version of that. And then in Game 7, the same dude that couldn't make a shot in Game 5 because the other team literally refused to guard him, he goes for 30, 10 of 21 from the field, 6 of 12 from three-point range. So he is the reason Oklahoma City had a chance to win the game in the final seconds. And then the biggest shot of his young career gets blocked in the final seconds by James Harden, who was having a terrible game.
Little Sun Devil on Sun Devil crime.
It was Sun Devil on Sun Devil crime, which, by the way, I tweeted this last night. Like, you just don't ever imagine two Arizona State basketball players trying to decide a Game 7. Like, that's not the history of Arizona State basketball.
Dude, I've looked up the list. Like, it's just very slim. I mean, you got those two, Byron Scott, our friend Lionel Hollins, and Eddie House. Like, those are the only ones that I recognize.
Yeah, like, Arizona State is not a basketball factory. Like, you got to remember, the reason they got James Harden is because they hired his high school coach to be an assistant. Mm. That's how they got that done. And then with Lu Dort, like, Bobby Hurley's really good. And, like, Bobby has got that thing turned into a pretty reliable winner right now. Mm-hmm. But Arizona State does not have a great basketball history. And then now we're watching two Sun Devils go back and forth at each other in a high-stakes Game 7 in the NBA playoffs, so that's not to be expected. Harden was 4 of 15 from the field, 1 of 9 from 3, but that massive block that he got on Lu Dort's shot in the final 5 seconds, I don't want to say that changed, that decided the game, because he might have just missed the shot.
Yeah.
But it was a big-time play. A big-time play from a guy who has throughout his career been labeled a bad defender. And by the way, he still is that. He's just a bad defender who made a great play. Like, that's possible. Like, I'm a bad putter who can sometimes make a putt.
Mm-hmm.
James Harden is a bad defender, but he made a big-time defensive play there. Still, though, Oklahoma City gets the ball back. Down 2, 1.1 seconds left. This is the inbounds play we discussed earlier.
Mm.
They call a timeout. They try to reset. And ultimately, it's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander inbounding. And he throws it, or at least attempts to throw it, to Steven Adams, who is moving away from the basket. And for people who maybe don't follow basketball too closely, Steven Adams is a center and nothing but a center. He is a traditional center in every sense of the word. Not a guy you're trying to get a 25-footer for at the buzzer. Like, this ain't Brooke Lopez. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander throws it to him as he's moving away from the basket. Oh, by the way, just cuts to the Mark Jackson even said on the broadcast, if Steven Adams just cuts to the basket, he's wide open.
Mm-hmm.
He goes the other way, out to the three-point line. In fairness to Steven, just trying to give Shai Gilgeous-Alexander an outlet because the clock is ticking, is about to create a turnover. But, like, what is the point of giving Shai Gilgeous-Alexander somebody to throw it to if it's you under those circumstances? What are you going to do if you even get the ball? Like, just turn around and chunk a three-pointer? It's Steven Adams?
Right.
Like, literally, you throw the ball anywhere else to anybody else on the court, or at least try it. Because when you make that throw, even if you complete it, it's not good. It doesn't accomplish anything. It's a little bit like a quarterback, I don't know, let's call it 4th and 12, and you throw the ball to a receiver who has no chance to get any yards after catch, 7 yards. Like, okay, why do you even make that throw? That even if you complete this pass, it will not do what you need to do. So why throw it there? Same thing last night, different sport, same thing. Even if you get the ball to Steven Adams with his back to the basket at the three-point line with 1.1 seconds left, he can't do anything. He's not going to make that shot. So I don't know that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had great options. In fact, I don't think that he did. But you've got to do something other than what he did in that spot, because the play just got blown up. And that's it. Series is over. And Chris Paul, there was some good and some bad last night for him. First off, the fact that he even had this franchise in this position against his former franchise is impressive, period. And he last night became the oldest player in NBA history to have a triple-double in a Game 7. 19 points, 12 assists, 11 rebounds. But his team only scored 6 points in the final 7 minutes. Only scored 6 points in the final 7 minutes of that game. And Chris Paul had 3 chances in the final 3 minutes to either tie the game or give Oklahoma City a lead. 3 chances in the final 3 minutes. The first one was a turnover. The second one missed a wide open 10-footer. And the third one, he dribbles, slowly dribbles into a double, basically a double team, like dribbles right into it, and then has like a panic pass situation. It gets deflected. And that is what led to the cross-court pass that leads to the Lu Dort three that James Harden blocked. So one game after, Chris Paul very publicly said, some guys are built for this, some guys shy away from it. He didn't come up in the ways that he needed to come up in the final minutes of Game 7. Again, his team only scored 6 points in the final 7 minutes, and he had 3 opportunities to either tie the game or give Oklahoma City the lead. One of them resulted in a turnover. The other one was a missed open 10-footer, and the other one was like it was just a bad possession that led to a scramble situation, cross-court pass to Lu Dort. James Harden recovers, blocks the shot, and Oklahoma City never got a good chance again because they never got another shot up after that moment. So either way, the Rockets move on, and now they'll get the Lakers. And though I wanted to see Chris Paul beat Houston because I just think that was the better story, like I talked about yesterday, I do think Houston against the Lakers is the better series, more interesting series, because, listen, the Lakers are better. They've got arguably the two best players in the series in LeBron James and Anthony Davis. I guess somebody would make an argument for James Harden, and I don't feel strongly about it either way. But you know, those two guys with the Lakers are both bigger, stronger than anybody in Houston's starting lineup. But here's the thing with Houston. They're going to take 50 to 55 threes.
Mm-hmm.
They're just going to take 50 to 55 threes. And if they hit 22 to 25 of them, you're in big trouble. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you got the king in, you know, playing screen and roll with Anthony Davis all game, which, by the way, is going to be very difficult for Houston to stop if that is what LA is committed to doing. But on the other end, the Rockets are going to take 50 to 55 threes. And, you know, can they hit 22 four different times to win? I don't know. I doubt it. I'd probably bet against that. I definitely bet against that. But it'll give them a chance. It'll give them a chance. And so I'm looking forward to the series because, you know, you do have three sure bet future first ballot Hall of Famers involved. And the style of play, the contrast in styles of play, at least makes it, from my perspective, an interesting watch. I'll talk more about it with Jeff Calkins a little after 5 o'clock. When we come back, Mike Tannenbaum, the NFL insider for ESPN. Talk about professional football with him. You listen to the Gary Parrish Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hi, I'm a 2020 census taker. As I walk around your neighborhood, you'll see my census bag and ID badge. We're coming by to assist anyone who hasn't completed it yet, and we'll be wearing a mask and following local guidelines for everyone's safety. We'll be asking some simple questions that will inform funds for healthcare, education, and more over the next decade. But right now is your chance to make a big difference. Shape your future. Start here at 2020census.gov. Paid for by U.S. Census Bureau.
In your city, Tennessee, frowns ruled the streets, and boredom could be found everywhere until the Hit Games rolled into town. Now a whole lot of fun is about to hit from the producers of Once Upon an Instant Game, the good, the fun, and the winner, and the Tennessee Lottery comes, the Hit Games gang rides again. Fun is coming to your city. Hit Instant Games only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
You gonna eat the other half of that sandwich?
It's all yours.
Nice. Chips too?
Sure.
Cool. What's up with that Powerball ticket?
I didn't win.
Can I have it?
Why?
To enter the Powerball First Millionaire of the Year drawing. I could win a free trip to New York City or New Year's Eve hometown party package.
Then no, you can't have it.
Fine. But I'm keeping the sandwich.
Visit TNVIPrewards.com to enter the Powerball First Millionaire of the Year drawing from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Stretch my hands to you.
Life like this is what your life like. Try to
more devastating life news in 2020. Taco Bell has announced they're eliminating the Mexican pizza from the menu. We'll get into that very important story in the next segment. Jeff Calkins will join me a little after 5 o'clock. But right now, he is a former NFL general manager who's a front office insider for ESPN now. It's Mike Tannenbaum, please, making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. Using food and wine to create memorable times.
So, Mike, the season is scheduled to start a week from tonight. Texans Chiefs in Kansas City. And at least recently, the COVID-19 numbers connected to the NFL have been pretty, really encouraging. Things seem to be going well so far. Did you expect them to go as well as they're going right now?
Gary, can we go back to the more important story in terms of the Taco Bell menu? Because there's still a big variety, and I think there's a winning formula there. So despite losing the pizza, I'm a stuffed burrito guy, and I feel like there's enough versatility amongst what Taco Bell brings to the table that we can still go there and have a great meal.
Oh, sure. Listen, I'm still going. I'm just like, Mexican pizza is a part of my childhood. Like, it'd be like if Legos announced Legos aren't going to exist anymore. It's like, what? But have you tried the new grilled cheese stuffed burrito?
No, I'm more of the soft taco chicken. You know, that usually works for me. So I'm a big Taco Bell fan. So maybe we could do one of these radio hits. We could do it live there one time.
I would love that. I'm a Taco Bell fan myself. Go ahead.
I would say, look, I think the NFL and the NFL Player Association have truly done a remarkable job in terms of taking every reasonable precaution with COVID. With that said, if we have this conversation a week or a month, I would fully expect there'll be some inevitable bumps in the road, just given the very nature of what we're dealing with this insidious disease. So, so far, so good. And just know that if and when there are bumps in the road, I think it's more a question of how the league responds to it that's more important.
Sure. Leonard Fournette has been in the news this week, first because the Jaguars waived him, then because Tampa Bay signed him. Let's start with the first. Did you agree with Jacksonville's decision to let the former top five pick go?
No. I think he's a guy that's a winning player. His ball skills have gotten better in terms of the passing game. I think those guys are still hard to find, even though running backs, you know, are more replaceable. And I think they should have held on to him at least for this year.
So I'm assuming you like Tampa Bay picking him up?
Yeah, and, you know, the whole notion is that you want to score early, you pass the score and run to win. And I think Leonard Fournette's a great compliment to what they have. They got a deep backfield with Keyshawn Vaughn, their third-round pick, from right up the road at Vanderbilt. And then, you know, you look at Ronald Jones, it's a great running back room.
Bruce Arians earlier today, I believe, said that Ronald Jones remains the starting running back, and unless he screws that up, then he will be the starting running back in Tampa Bay. Do you believe that?
I think it puts the bar is a lot higher, right? And we'll see how it goes. But I think for sure Ronald Jones knows that his margin for error in terms of production, durability, ball security is a lot smaller than it was a couple days ago.
No question. I'm talking to Mike Tannenbaum, former NFL general manager, now a front office insider with ESPN. He's on Twitter, at Real Tannenbaum. It's on Tampa Bay. I looked at the latest odds today. They are projected to be a top three team in the NFC. Obviously, they're one of the biggest stories in the NFL because of the presence of Tom Brady, the presence of Gronk. Do you see them being as good as so many people seem to think they're going to be?
I do like them. I think the one sort of like hesitancy is that, you know, it's such an unusual offseason, and from a continuity standpoint, I think it's going to be a work in progress early on. I think they'll get there, but there'll be some, you know, we're a sport of precision and repetition, and they've had none of that so far.
The other big headline in terms of personnel from the past 24 hours, the Seahawks have signed Josh Gordon, the talented receiver who remains suspended from the NFL for a violation of the league's drug policy. It's the sixth time he's been suspended. Listen, I don't know Josh Gordon at all. I don't care about the Seahawks, but I don't like to see people struggle the way that he struggled. So I'm rooting for the guy. As somebody who has run a franchise before, what kinds of things can Seattle do to put him in a position or create a better opportunity for him to, for lack of a better phrase, stay clean and finally put his very public issues behind him?
Yeah, no, that's well said. And I think it's all about being a partner in a meaningful way from day one and creating the infrastructure and giving him the support necessary for him to be successful not only on the field, but in this case, probably more importantly, off the field. And it starts from day one. And, you know, really the approach I've taken in the past is like, hey, look, you know, with Josh, whatever in the past is in the past, we're moving forward, our eyes are forward, and let's just stack one good day on top of the next. And, you know, people battle all sorts of things in life, and it's always about let's make progress, let's look for improvement, and, you know, at the end of the year, hopefully, you know, a healthy Josh Gordon plays in 16 games.
It is expected, according to reports, that he will be reinstated to the NFL, you know, any day. It's been described as imminent. That said, he's 29 years old, and he obviously hasn't played a lot of football for reasons we've already established. Is he a guy you can just put on the field, and he's such a talent, physical specimen, that he's ready to go no matter what?
I would have a little concern about conditioning, to be candid. You know, just in terms of, like, not being, again, in an offseason, not being around the team for a while. But, you know, maybe you start off with a package of 15, 20 plays, get him going a little bit. Again, it's a long season. Obviously, if healthy, if eligible, he's a tough player. He's fast. He's big. He's hard to tackle. He makes plays after the catch. So a lot of upside if things can work out there.
Talking to Mike Tannenbaum, former NFL general manager, now front office insider with ESPN. He's on Twitter, at Real Tannenbaum. Your old organization, Le'Veon Bell, earlier today said that he and Adam Gase actually do like each other, contrary to what people believe. This comes after they had a little bit of a back and forth last week. A, do you believe they actually like each other? And B, does it even matter? How important is it that a star player and coach get along on a personal level?
It's all about respect. As long as they respect each other, like they don't have to be best friends, Gary, but they have to be able to communicate hear and understand one another. You know, Le'Veon Bell was paid a big, big contract, and he's going to be there. And you know, now it's up to Coach Gase to minimize distractions and get things to work out the best way possible.
I'm wrapping up here with Mike Tannenbaum from ESPN. Last thing before I let you go, you know, Jerry Jones, owner of the Dallas Cowboys, has said in the past that his players must stand for the national anthem or they will not play. Meantime, Dak Prescott has suggested this week, and he's obviously the franchise quarterback, that he and his teammates should be able to make individual choices when it comes to how they handle the national anthem this season. If a Cowboy takes a knee, how do you expect Jerry Jones to address that?
Well, hopefully, you know, they're getting together and they're figuring out, you know, solutions in terms of, like, you know, things they could do in the community together. And then in terms of, look, if a player wants to take a knee, they certainly, you know, they can do that. And I don't think, you know, Jerry Jones can stop them from playing. So, you know, there's so many storylines heading to week one, but obviously that will be one to watch closely. And I think hopefully those things get worked out. And more importantly, hopefully, you know, all these conversations, activity, you know, we see a lot of great programs that come out and make meaningful change. And, you know, we saw things today about the league and the union shutting down on election day, which is fantastic. And hopefully we get a big voter turnout. And, you know, in terms of the national anthem, I think that's just part of this bigger conversation. And hopefully the league and the players can use their platform, you know, to make big changes.
That is Mike Tannenbaum, former NFL general manager, now a front office insider with ESPN. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Real Tannenbaum. Thanks so much, Mike. I appreciate it. Stay safe, and I'll catch up with you down the road.
Okay, great. Thanks for having me.
All right, buddy. That's Mike Tannenbaum, former Jets general manager, now front office insider with ESPN. I think because Dak saying what he said this week got a lot of attention because it runs in direct contrast to what the owner of the team for which he plays has said. The issue here, I think, is that the world has changed pretty drastically since Jerry Jones drew that hard line in the sand, if you will. Like, there was a time where Roger Goodell wasn't on board with any of the things that he now seems on board. Like, Roger Goodell can't stop talking about Colin Kaepernick now. Right. Every time it comes up, he's like, I wish we'd have listened to Colin.
Yeah.
I wish we'd have listened to Colin earlier than we did, and we really respect him now, and Black Lives Matter. And I would assume whether Jerry Jones's ideas on these things, thoughts on these things have changed, his approach is going to have to change. Because there is no scenario, whether it's in Dallas, Philadelphia, anywhere else right now, under these circumstances, in this country, where a white owner is going to be able to actually punish a black player for taking a knee during the national anthem. I know Jerry Jones has once said he would. I don't think he will. If Dak Prescott or somebody who we don't even know who plays for Dallas decides to take a knee during the national anthem, I don't think Jerry Jones will do a single thing about it. He might express disappointment while then saying, but I respect it and all the little words that you have to say. But I don't think he'll do anything about it. Just because he has once said, if you don't stand for the anthem, you won't play. I don't know that that still applies. We'll see, because I'll be surprised if every Dallas Cowboy stands for the national anthem. If only because, well, not if only because, but among the reasons I'd be surprised is because once you, I mean, you've got the most famous owner in the sport, and he is the one who has been on the record strongest about this. There's got to be somebody in that locker room who's going to say, I've got to stand up just to do it. And by stand up, I mean take a knee. But that is going to be a story, you know, when the season gets started next week, because though taking a knee has obviously become almost a universal thing in the NBA, and it has trickled into MLS and Major League Baseball, it started in football. It started with Colin Kaepernick. And so some of those players are going to feel, I would assume, obligated to continue to carry on the protest that Colin Kaepernick started and that has gained incredible acceptance, you know, over the past few months, really every day since the murder of George Floyd in Minneapolis. But, yeah, I imagine that'll be a big story next Thursday night, next weekend in something that'll be discussed and debated with great enthusiasm from coast to coast. When we come back, tragic news from Taco Bell. The Mexican pizza will be removed from the menu come November. Why are they doing this? They actually have a reason. I just reject it. I reject it on a surface level. Mexican pizza is part of my childhood. The idea that it'll no longer exist, shame, shame, shame. We'll get into this very important story next. You're listening to the Gary Parrish Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
This is Gary Parrish reminding you that the Smile Center is where I go to the dentist. It's where my entire family goes to the dentist. And the reason it's great is because the folks at the Smile Center take care of you and treat you like family. The Smile Center, it's Dr. Maddie Sadeghi's place at 1941 South Germantown Road. They are open and treating patients. And needless to say, they're taking all of the necessary health precautions to keep you and your family safe. That means pre-screening, temperature checks, air purifiers with HEPA filters everywhere, and a limited number of people in the waiting room and clinical areas. Yes, the Smile Center is currently accepting new patients. And for those of you who've lost your dental coverage due to COVID-19, the Smile Center has insurance plans available for you and your family. If you have dental insurance, let me ask you this. Have you used all of your insurance benefits for 2020? If not, you should do that before the end of the year, and there's nobody better to do it with than the Smile Center. Again, the address is 1941 South Germantown Road, Suite 101, and the phone number is 901-309-1333. It's the Smile Center on the web, smilecentermemphis.com.
I absolutely love my dog, but the constant shedding, not so much. But then I got a Swiffer Sweeper pet kit, and it is amazing. These super thick cloths pick up a crazy amount of hair. Just look at all that. And that was from just one swipe. And the best part? Sweeper's so much easier to maneuver than a broom or a vacuum, easily getting around chairs and under the couch. You're right. Now I can focus on you, not your shedding. Swiffer Sweeper Pet Kit. Because shed happens.
So are you the type of guy that wants to look put together but doesn't want to spend hours shopping? I hear you. This is why there's Stitch Fix, your personal styling service that delivers hand-picked clothes right to you. Stitch Fix is simple and convenient. Sign up in just a few minutes. Try new styles in the comfort of your own home. And there's no subscription required ever. So isn't it time to refresh your look? Get started today at StitchFix.com. Stitch Fix. Personal styling for everybody.
It's Mattress Firm's Labor Day sale. Hurry in and save up to $500 when you get a king bed for the price of a queen or a queen for a twin. Plus, get a free adjustable base when you spend $699 or more. And save up to 50% on select mattresses from our top-rated brands, like Sealy and more. Shop in-store, online, or by phone today. Don't wait. Only at Mattress Firm's Labor Day sale. Offer valid with qualifying purchase. Restrictions apply. Valid participating locations only. Some products only available online. For offer details, visit mattressfirm.com/sale.
For muscle pain, body aches, to strains, Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis. It works fast and you won't stink. Its unique formula with emu oil penetrates deep to relieve arthritis pain, sore muscles, joints, and more.
Honey, do you hear that?
Yeah. What is that?
Oh my God, the roof is leaking! Okay, I got this. Look out, coming through.
What are you doing?
I'm catching the water to keep us from drowning. What are you doing?
I'm calling Bennett Roofing. They've got 24-hour emergency service and can get our roof fixed in no time. Put those pots away. I just washed those.
Licensed and insured, Bennett Roofing offers 24-hour emergency service on all roof repair. Visit them at BennettRoofingMemphis.com or call them at 901-359-9708.
Hey, it's Eric Hasseltine from the Memphis Grizzlies here to tell you about the best place to get a pre-owned vehicle in the entire Mid-South, and that is DeSoto Auto Sales. You can visit them on the web at DeSotoAutoSales.com. Or simply head on over to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch. Why DeSoto Auto Sales, you say? Well, their prices are fantastic. They've got over 250 cars on the lot, and they range in price from $8,000 to $30,000. Most of these cars are still under their factory warranty, so you're getting a great vehicle. They've been inspected 5 times before they hit the lot. And it's their selection. The lot is always changing. They're trying to get them out of there at the best price possible for their customers so they can clear the lot for more vehicles to come. Trucks, vans, sedans, SUVs, and they can finance you on the spot. They've got financing managers to explain all of your options. It's all there at DeSoto Auto Sales. You can see the entire selection at DeSotoAutoSales.com. Get a great car at a great price. What are you waiting for? Go to DeSotoAutoSales.com or hop on down to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch and visit DeSoto Auto Sales today.
I'm John Meacham, author and historian. I'm proud to present a brand new limited podcast documentary series called It Was Said. where I guide you through 10 of the most historic, impactful, and timeless speeches in American history.
Let the word go forth from this time and place to friend and foe alike.
We do not want our freedom gradually, but we want to be free now.
The future will always be ours.
The America of John McCain is generous and welcoming and bold.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Directed and produced by Peabody-nominated C-13 Original Studios, in association with history, It Was Said is now available for free on Apple Podcasts, Radio.com, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
The God Killer, this Tokyo and I'm Godzilla. Playing blackjack versus death gun on the card dealer. Just bought a demon, I'm screaming about the card dealer. The last temptation of Mike, but I'm a God digger. Tell me as a Bob that the God don't need a job. And if I did, the oligarchs would be missing, murdered, and wrong. This is Bonaparte, and he paid with Tucson. And they went on a world conquest, tearing your Bonaparte. Michael remained murderous, but still virtuous. Wait to kill the petty, you found out the church services. Not a holy man, but a moral in my perverseness. So I support the sex workers unionizing.
Week one of the football season is about to kick off, and DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, has put you in the center of the action with two shots at a $1 million top prize. Make it a rain with DraftKings is easy. Just draft your team, stay under the salary cap, and pile up points for yards, touchdowns, and so much more. Plus, DraftKings is giving away a share of up to $100 million in prizes to all users who enter their free football survivor pool. So just go to DraftKings, sign up, enter the survivor pool, and you'll instantly get a share of up to $100 million in giveaway. So go download that top-rated DraftKings app right now. Don't wait. Do it now. Unless you're driving, then do it when you stop driving. Use the code WMFS, and that's how you're going to get a free shot at $1 million top prize. That's code WMFS on the DraftKings app. And for a limited time, don't forget, you can get your share of $100 million in prizes by entering DraftKings free survivor pool. That's code WMFS only at DraftKings. A minimum $5 deposit is required. Other terms and conditions and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for more details. Jeff Calkins is going to be here after 5 o'clock. Ask him what his deck looks like after he took a chainsaw to it this morning. What a ridiculous life this man is living. Woo! Right now, though, I got 4 stories I'd like to discuss.
4 notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's 4 notable stories at 4:44. Story number 1.
Taco Bell has announced that they are removing the Mexican pizza from the menu effective in November. Bennett, I saw you had strong emotions about this on Twitter earlier today.
Yeah.
Can you explain how this will negatively impact your life?
Well, the thing is, GP, is like, I think that you can really tell the difference between a Taco Bell connoisseur and a poser based on the Mexican pizza. It's not the easiest dish to consume, but it is it's a Taco Bell staple, and I judge people based on if they order the Mexican pizza or not. It was a go-to for me on the Taco Bell menu, a classic, if you will.
Okay, now I've been having Mexican pizzas from Taco Bell my entire life, far as I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
I've always enjoyed them. It's why I was disappointed to hear this news. I will not pretend that I get them often now, and the reason is because at this point, mostly when I eat Taco Bell, I'm going to eat it in the car. I don't normally pick up Taco Bell and take it home.
Can't do Mexican pizza in the car. Really.
Hard to do in the car. Really, that's a tough deal.
Waiting to happen.
You're just going to end up with Mexican pizza on your shirt.
Yep.
By the way, I think the only downside of Taco Bell, hard to not get it on your shirt.
Yeah, it's next to impossible.
When you're driving.
Yeah.
It's just hard.
That is the hardest fast food to eat on the road.
And you feel like I'm ashamed of myself when I like walk in. Like every once in a while, I'll go play golf on, say, a Sunday morning, and then I'll come home, And on the way back home, I have to drive right by Taco Bell. And I usually I play golf early in the morning. I don't get up and eat breakfast before I go. And then I don't eat while I'm at the course. So, like, you know, it's now it's 2:30 in the afternoon. I haven't eaten all day.
Yep.
I say, you know what? It's Sunday. I should enjoy myself. Taco Bell's right there.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna drive through. I'll just get a couple of items and I'll be good. And inevitably, no matter what I buy, it ends up on my shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And then you walk into the house with, like, Taco Bell on your shirt. You look like a slob.
Your family needs your slob.
It's like you walk in. It's like you're disgusting.
Mm-hmm. And disgusted with yourself. Yes,
you're disgusted with yourself, and your family is disgusted by you.
Yes,
because as much as I love Taco Bell, let's be clear, it's not good for you.
Oh no.
Like, yeah, you'd be better. You'd be better off without it. We'd all be better off without it. But, man, I love it so much.
I do, too.
And so the only downside is that you got to be, like, I like hot sauce, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you're driving, you're really going to take the time to get the hot sauce out and then put it on your cheesy gordita crunch
right. And
take a bite. Now you got hot sauce on your shirt. It's just, it's a problem. But I love it so much.
I do, too.
So I don't typically get the Mexican pizza because if I can't even eat a cheesy gordita crunch in my car without getting it all over me, like, good luck with a Mexican pizza. But there was a time, like, I don't know, within the past month, I was driving home. Sometimes my wife gets overwhelmed. She's often overwhelmed. And she says, hey, can you just, the boys want tacos. Can you just stop and get, like, you know, some soft tacos? Get Taco Bell, just bring it home. Mm-hmm. I don't want to deal with cooking. And I said, of course I can. So I stopped by the Taco Bell right near my home. And I knew I was going home to eat with the family. I said, I'm going to get Mexican pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And I got that Mexican pizza, and I enjoyed that Mexican pizza. So to learn today that they're taking it off the menu, pretty disappointing.
What's your go-to
cheesy
order?
Gordita crunch.
That's what you get.
Okay. I love cheesy gordita crunches.
See, this is why it's disappointing for me, because I either go with the Mexican pizza or the quesadilla, and then just a bunch. I like the crunchy tacos. I just get it like that's my main entree, and then the crunchy tacos are like my side.
I don't mess with crunchy tacos or soft tacos. I'll eat them. Like, if they're there, I'll eat them. Mm-hmm. Let me be clear about something. Anything on the Taco Bell menu, if it's there, I'll take it. I'll eat it.
Agreed.
I'll eat it. But if you give them a choice, I'm going cheesy gordita crunch. That grilled cheese burrito that they got now.
Yeah.
I didn't love it first time. I've had it maybe two times now. Mm-hmm. Kind of into it a little bit.
It's not bad.
It gets on my shirt while I'm driving.
Yeah.
Because it's got cheese on the outside. It's messy. It's a messy deal.
Yeah. I used to like the Nacho Bell Grande, but it's so messy. I mean, it's just, it's impossible. It's an impossible menu item.
I used to, and this is why, there was a time in my life, Bennett Doyle, where my go-to order might have been a chili cheese burrito and the Mexican pizza, and now both discontinued.
That's unbelievable.
They just ripped up my childhood.
In all seriousness, I would not be surprised if this is like a marketing thing. That they're getting everyone up in an uproar, and they're going to be like, just kidding, we're bringing it back.
Well, they actually do have a reason for what they're doing.
What's going on?
What they said is that the packaging for the Mexican pizza accounts for more than 7 million pounds of paperboard annually in the United States. And so, by getting rid of the Mexican pizza, you get rid of that expense, and it'll help Taco Bell inch closer to sustainability goals.
Taco Bell has sustainability problems?
I can't imagine.
Everybody loves Taco Bell.
Who doesn't love Taco Bell?
Yeah.
It's like Chick-fil-A.
They're not in trouble.
It's like Chick-fil-A. There cannot possibly be a Chick-fil-A anywhere in the United States of America that doesn't kill.
Right.
And Taco Bell's like got to be on that list somewhere. Like, where in this world do they not like Taco Bell?
Yeah,
So I don't know. Listen, I'm sure they got an accountant somewhere that ran the numbers and figured it out. But to me, you know what I'd say if I were in charge of Taco Bell?
Mm.
I'd say, okay, I hear you. Let's figure out a different way to package it then. But we cannot get rid of the Mexican pizza.
No,
you can't get rid of the Mexican pizza in the same 30-year span that you also get rid of the chili cheese burrito? Like, what are you doing to us? We've lost enough in the year 2020.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that we will on top. Think about when we look back on 2020, all of the things that were taken away from us. And now, on that list, the Mexican pizza. Shame, Taco Bell. I understand your decision. I just don't respect it.
Story number two.
The Brooklyn Nets hired a basketball coach this morning. His name's Steve Nash, former two-time MVP, Hall of Famer. I didn't see this one coming.
I know him.
And I don't think many people saw this coming, because if you do like a Twitter search for Steve Nash in Brooklyn, Steve Nash in the Nets, almost nothing comes up before this morning.
Yeah.
He wasn't like considered, you know, list of candidates Brooklyn's looking at is Steve Nash. But he is the new coach, and he's the latest guy who gets a head coaching job in the NBA, and a good one, in Brooklyn with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. I mean, we'll see if it's a good one. On paper, it looks like a good one. It could be a disaster, but looks like a good one. It's the type of job I'd want to take, because you get to live in New York City, and you set up the win. You got two of the best players in the world. Like, I know those guys have their own little issues, but two of the best players in the world is a good place to start when you're taking an NBA job. He's the latest guy to get a head coaching job in the NBA without having assistant coach experience. And this led to a bunch of conversations today about white privilege. And Stephen A. Smith, I think, took it further than anybody else. He called it white privilege and said that if Steve Nash were black, he would not even sniff this job. I'm paraphrasing, but that was his point. The problem, and by the way, before I say everything else I'm going to say, let's establish this. Of course, white privilege is a thing. I've benefited from it my entire life, continue to do so this day. I'm not one of those white people who try to act like there's not a such thing as white privilege. If you listen to the show, you already know that. But still, let's be clear. White privilege exists in this country to this second. But I don't know that this is what that is.
I just don't think so either.
Because,
I'm with you.
Because let me give you the names of some other guys who have landed head coaching jobs without ever being an assistant coach. Doc Rivers. Isaiah Thomas, Mark Jackson, Jason Kidd. There's four black guys right there. Steve Kerr, yes, is another example. White guy. Mm-hmm. But, like, black coaches, former guards in the NBA, have been given these opportunities just as often, if not more often, than white coaches. So there is a problem in the NBA and certainly the NFL with hiring minorities to coach your teams and run your teams. But I don't know that Steve Nash's hiring is a reflection of that.
Yeah.
I just think this is pretty simple. Steve Nash is an incredible basketball mind. Everybody likes him and respects him. And he used to work with Kevin Durant at Golden State, and Kevin Durant clearly.
Yeah, I mean, that's decisions not happening without KD's blessing.
There's no question.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant is the reason that Steve Nash is now the head coach of the Brooklyn Nets. And if I were a Nets fan, I'd be encouraged by that, because Kevin Durant's a smart basketball mind. Obviously, an incredible talent, but an incredible basketball mind as well. He's worked with Steve Nash, and he must believe that Steve Nash is ready to do this job. Otherwise, you don't sign off on it. These are Kevin Durant's, like, prime years, and we're probably closer to the end of them than we are to the beginning.
Right.
So you don't want to put your hands in – you would only put your career in the hands of somebody you genuinely believed in. And this only gets done by Brooklyn if Kevin Durant says, this is the guy we should hire. I would love to play for that guy. So that's encouraging stuff. It'll be – you know, we'll see how it goes. But there is precedent for something like this happening. And, you know, there's precedent for it working really, really well. Steve Kerr at Golden State being probably the best example.
Story number three.
John Folkey is the Charlotte Hornets play-by-play guy who typed the N-word into Twitter during a first-round series between the Jazz and Nuggets. He was placed on leave when that happened. Today, made it official. They have fired him. He will no longer be the play-by-play guy for the Charlotte Hornets. On one hand, I feel bad for the guy, because he insists to this day it was just he just mistyped. And it is possible to mistype that word and get the word that he got. And if you really lost your job, your career, because of a typo, that's pretty, like, I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
No.
On the other hand, I've tweeted a million times. I've never typed that word into Twitter. Like, so, like, I don't know. Are you just the unluckiest tweeter of all time?
It kind of goes back to, like, the whole thing about, like, you know, we're both two people who cuss in our normal lives, right. But like when these microphones come on, we just don't. Like,
we don't unless I do. But when I do, it's intentional. It's for effect.
Right.
And then I put Bennett in a scramble mode over there.
That's right. That's okay.
But yeah, like, if you hear me cuss on this radio station, it is probably because I'm intentionally doing it for effect. I want to I want to get a certain point across. But, you know, I probably said 40,000 cuss words earlier today, and we'll do another 20 or so tonight.
Right.
But I won't do them in this two-hour window from 4 to 6. I don't know what the guy was doing. I don't know if his phone auto-corrected to a racial slur because he types it in text all the time. I don't know if he really just mistyped. Clearly, it's not what he meant to do. Clearly, he didn't mean to type that word.
Sure.
I mean, he's not, you know, he's not trying to suicide his career. But either way, he has certainly derailed his career because he's no longer the play-by-play guy for the Hornets.
Story number four.
Sad news last night. Tom Seaver, the greatest Met to ever live, died at the age of 75. He had retired from public life last year because he was struggling with dementia. It deteriorated. I've read, I won't pretend to have inside information on Tom Seaver's health, but like everything I read suggested he was not doing well. He also contracted COVID-19, and I don't know how that will be ruled. Obviously, that's a big debate in our country right now, but he died, his family said, while battling dementia and COVID-19 at the age of 75. He helped the Mets win one of only two World Series that franchise has ever won back in 1969. 12-time All-Star, 3-time Cy Young Award winner. And when he was elected to the Hall of Fame, he went in with 98.8% of the vote, which at the time was a record. And so...
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.